think about this as we look at the scriptures. Just enough. Just enough. You know, we live in a world of plenty. Someone might say even now, because you see the television and the displays of the greed and the absence of compassion, that we see those who are suffering because of issues of poverty and human degradation. And it gives you to think that we need to have more so that we can do more. I beg to differ. I think we can do more just by doing more. You know, there is no absence of resources in the planet on which we live. With all the talk about climate change, and it could be true, and the way in which environmentally we are not good stewards over what God has allowed us to have, it's more sometimes about profit and capitalism than seeking to love your neighbor, even as you feed yourself. And so sometimes it seems like there is a dearth of concern in the world in which we live. I would say, too, that there are plenty of people who are doing what they're saying. They feel a need to reach out beyond themselves. That's just what you call humanitarianism. Amen? Can I say this, and then we'll move on? That you can help somebody, not because you're saved, just because you're human. You don't have to wait to get saved to help somebody. Ain't that right? You see, when we grew up, when we was growing up, amen, we was taught, amen, how to do that. Ain't that right? And if you didn't act right, you got spanked right. Amen. But again, saints, if somewhere, somehow, people can be convinced that you don't have to give it all away. Just enough will help a whole lot of people. Are you with me here? We're not on a platform today to espouse the way in which we can solve all the world's problems. No, because the truth of the matter is, you can have all the money in the bank and still have problems. You can have all the friends in the world and still be lonely. And that won't solve all your needs. But then again, saints, within the purview of our Christian faith, it's very important that we keep in mind, again, what matters. Yes. Ain't that right? Yes. Because we have been drawn away to some degree over what it is that we can sustain ourselves with to the exclusion of what really keeps you in this Christian life. Yes. There's too many prosperity Mongols. No, I said Mongols. That means people in certain places where they're making us to think that if you don't have a certain amount of this or that, then you can't make it in this life. Or God has somehow cut you off some kind of way or shortchanged you as a child of the King. Well, it doesn't matter how many dollar bills you don't have in your pocket. You're still a joint heir with Jesus Christ. But now, that does not also preclude the fact that we will all of us, going to go through something. If you try to measure your closeness to God by your lack of having any problem, that you have every convenience you want in life, and you try to measure the barometer of your intimacy with God by those kinds of things, then you got the wrong temperature. The truth of the matter is, we are not only given to believe in him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Now, if you've been coming here today, if you've been coming to service for the last couple of weeks, someone might say, well, Pastor, I done had a good diet of you talking about how we're going to go through and this and that. Well, I'll just try to be real. You know, because if somebody's going to think that, again, if when things come up in life, and they will, and it, again, it's when things happen and they will, that I need to understand that God still has everything under control. And so these people here in Hebrews, and this is something here saying, this is, you might have it, everything might be fine right now, but I guarantee you it's down the road. And that does not mean you should be paranoid. No, God don't call us to live paranoid. He doesn't call us to be looking over our shoulder all the time, waiting for the next thing to fall. No, he does not. But he wants us to know that as long as we in this world, in this life, you're going to have to deal with something. And if you don't do it right, that something's going to deal with you. And so these believers, these Christians in this letter that was written to seek to encourage them, console them. And I spent some time in here. We spend a lot of time in here. But again, at the crux of this, and their answer was found, this not in the temple that they lost, the membership they didn't have, but the Savior that was sitting on the right hand of the Father. Amen. Are y'all with me here? And when I go through this, there's something again that I need to always keep in mind. That when it comes to Christ, our Savior, there is something we need to understand about the fact of his coming into this world, what we call the incarnation of Christ. That means that when he came into this world, he is God. Not that he just was God, he is God. But he also took it upon himself a human nature that he added unto himself. Not 50% man, not 50% God. No, he's all God and all human nature. Now, what do you say? Why are you trying to get there? No, I'm trying to get you to understand, because it was God's will before he came into this world that he would do such a thing, that the word would become flesh, so that when it came time for him to go back to the Father in heaven, when you and I go through something in this life, we got somebody on God's right hand who you cannot go to and say, he don't understand what I'm going through. You can say it about Michael and Gabriel. You know what I'm saying? You can say it about Michael and Gabriel. You can say it about the cherubim and the seraphim. You can say it about them, but you'll never be able to say that about Jesus. And somebody might say, well, God don't understand. Well, I'm here to tell you, God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. But in the economy of God, the God who knows everything, watch it now, even though he knows everything, Lord, how can I say it right? He didn't feel everything the way we think he should have. What you mean by that? Mean that God don't have pain. No, God don't have pain. But God can be grieved. What do you mean be grieved? Grieved, I'm not just talking about losing somebody. I mean, when in the Old Testament, when God had made man and man had turned in the book, in the time of Noah, when he looked down and saw everything that man was doing, amen, and the Bible said that God was grieved by what he saw. And as a matter of fact, it repented God that he even made man. That doesn't mean that God had regret per se. It just means that God was disturbed because of what he saw, and it was not working out the way he wanted to. Not because he didn't know it, but he didn't want it. But God knew. He knew. And he knows. I want you to get both things in mind. He knew and he knows. He knew because he knows everything before it began to happen. But then he wanted to let us understand that he knows. So what God did, his son, the son of God, came down there through 40 and two generations and took on flesh, born of a virgin. Are you with me here? Grew up, amen. And the Bible said he grew in wisdom and stature with God and man. But as he got older, and he began his earthly ministry. Now, he was doing ministry, but when the Holy Ghost came upon him, he was fully presented to those who were around him. Are you with me here? But there was something about Jesus that you need to understand. That, listen, I think the song writer goes like this. He knows, I'm so glad he knows just how much we can bear. So, well, how can he do that? Because he's God, of course, you know, the things that happen. He's God. Well, what do you think? How are you going to compare what I go through with what he goes through? He is God. And I am not. So it's not fair to measure what's happening to me in terms of what he went through. What I'm here to tell you, because of the way he came down here, he made it sure that you can never question his ability to understand what you're going through. Amen. Bible talks about, and this is he talks about when he came down, he took on flesh, and watch it now. Hebrews chapter 2 said, "For verily he took not on the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to also secure them or help them that are tempted." Yes, sir. Listen, the ultimate goal was Calvary. It was to go and pay for our sins. Are y'all with me here? What? To pay for our sins. But watch, he also suffered on the way to the cross. He did not have a pristine crucifixion. What do I mean by that? Mean that it wasn't clean. If you was back there, and again, I mentioned before, they did everything they could to him. They made him even try to look like a criminal. And then they beat him. They beat him down. They did everything they could to him. They took all kinds of hate. Darkness had their way with him. They hung him up on the cross. But then his blood came streaming. Ain't that right? But when you looked at him, Isaiah said he could hardly recognize him when you looked at him. Y'all follow me here? But then after that was done, he rose from the grave. He went back to heaven with the Father, sat on his right hand, sat in the place, amen, of one who had purged our sins. Come on with me now. But what we need to understand is that Jesus, when he was down here, not just when he was in the temple at 12 years old, talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and showing them that, amen, he was doing the will of his Father, but also what he was doing, he was training himself. For when I run through a problem down here, when I hurt, when you reject me, when you turn your back on me, when I don't know what to do, where to go, when people leave me, when they put me out, he wanted us to understand he went through that already. He trained himself. That doesn't mean he got better. It means as our high priest, he was conditioning himself, quote unquote, without he stopped being God. He was still God, but he was also still man. And anything man goes through except for sin, he knew no sin, did no sin, had no sin.